Mozart had been in the best palaces, in the best places, Rome, London, Paris. Who could blame him if he felt unappreciated, even trapped by his employer and his provincial hometown? Mozart was 20 years old at the time he wrote these letters. The juices, my friends, were cooking. He'd been hanging around his dreary Salzburg for too long. It was time for another trip. But more than just another concert tour, both Wolfgang and Leopold were aware that it was time for Mozart to find a gig of his own, a position, a day job, a courtly patron truly prepared to underwrite Mozart's compositional career. And for the 20-year-old Mozart, there was something else. It was time, biologically speaking, for him to, oh, is there a delicate way to put this? It was time for him to mate. On March 14, 1777, Leopold Mozart petitioned Archbishop Colloredo for permission to take Wolfgang on tour to Paris. Now, of course, there was an ulterior motive here, a motive the Archbishop must have been aware of, and that was to secure for Wolfgang a position commensurate with his extraordinary talents. Now, in regards to the petition for Leopold's and Wolfgang's leave, this had never been a problem in the past, but it was now. The Archbishop turned down the petition. To make a long and ugly story short, Leopold, threatened with dismissal by the Archbishop, simply could not leave Salzburg. Wolfgang, likewise threatened with dismissal from his job as concertmaster to the Archbishop, quit before he could be fired. Leopold, terrified by the thought of his 21-year-old son traveling across Europe alone, sent in his own stead his wife, Mozart's mother, Anna Marie. In a letter to his son, Leopold Mozart recounted a conversation between Count Firmian and the Archbishop. Apparently, Archbishop Colloredo had been gloating over his treatment of the Mozarts, telling the Count, and now I quote Leopold's letter, which writes about a story Firmian had told him, but here's the letter. "Now we have one less man in the orchestra," said the Archbishop. Count Firmian replied, "Your Grace has lost a great virtuoso." "How so?" asked the Archbishop. The reply was, "Mozart is the greatest keyboard player whom I have ever heard in my life. On the violin, he rendered very good services to Your Grace, and he is a first-rate composer." The Archbishop was silent, for he had nothing to say. This entire episode with the Archbishop left Leopold embittered almost beyond reason. For the first time in 15 years, if he wished to earn a living in Salzburg, he had to do those things he'd originally been hired to do: give keyboard lessons to the choir boys, purchase music and musical instruments for the court, and on occasion, actually direct the court's music. There'd be no visit to Paris. Leopold had to stay home and work. Talk about a fall from fame and glory. You know, for the most part, the Salzburg authorities had been incredibly lenient with their deputy Kapellmeister, who, in Wolfgang's own words, no longer put his whole heart into his work. Over the years, the Salzburg court had regularly granted Leopold extraordinary leaves of absence and all sorts of special favors because Wolfgang was such an extraordinary asset to the city. There's no way to sugarcoat this one. Wolfgang Mozart's genius gave Leopold Mozart the license and opportunity to avoid his responsibilities as an employee of the court. Leopold's attitudes towards his official duties were recounted many years later in an article in the Allgemeine Musikalische Zeitung, which recalled that, quote, "age, domestic sorrows, and the parsimoniousness of his prince combined finally to make Mozart's father exhausted and worn down. He no longer composed, he simply withdrew from that which was legitimately required of him and let the rest of the world go as it would." And this was published in 1821. We will let Mozart biographer Maynard Salomon summarize the situation regarding Leopold in 1777. And I quote, "Leopold Mozart's protracted flight from authority and responsibility, which had begun when he quit school in Augsburg, and which, for the past 15 years, had carried him throughout Europe in the dress and equipage of a gentleman, was now at an end. He had seized on the potentialities of Wolfgang's talent to inaugurate the journeys that now became the vehicle for his son's rebellious impulse and of his quest for fulfillment.